Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. As I know you know, one of the most important fronts in that war at the moment is the home front. It is one that is now increasingly under assault, it seems, by people who come here, in some cases, to do us harm. And our ability to prevent them from doing so has been greatly complicated by a series of very misbegotten policies and, in some cases, the outright ignoring of our immigration laws. And nobody has been tracking these matters more closely and warning more of their import than our first guest. She is Rosemary Jenks, the director of government relations at an incredibly important organization, Numbers USA. And we wanted to catch up with Rosemary in the aftermath of the unveiling yesterday of President Trump's new direction, shall we say, with respect to immigration, plan that presumably will be followed now in some way, shape, or form by congressional action and result in, well, I'm afraid, based on what I've seen so far, truly new and problematic policies in this space. To parse all this for us, I'm very pleased to welcome back Rosemary Jenks, one of our favorite guests. Rosemary, thank you so much for taking a few minutes on what I know is an incredibly busy day to explain what the president is doing and what it might portend.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Frank. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of good news on this front right now.
Tell us why.
The framework released by the White House yesterday, and it is just a framework, there are very few details, it's just a one-page document, lays out a policy that would be extremely harmful to the country in the short term, with potential benefits in the very long term, like 15 to 20 years from now. Basically, what it does is lay out a path toward full-scale amnesty with a path to citizenship for 1.8 million illegal aliens. The fact that they put the 1.8 number in the framework means that that becomes a floor for this amnesty. It also supposedly ends chain migration and ends the visa lottery. However, it uses all of those visas to clear out a 4 million person backlog of people on a visa waiting list. So rather than having any kind of reduction in legal immigration to make up for the amnesty, we're in fact going to have continuous immigration of roughly a million a year, while at the same time we're giving amnesty and work permits to 1.8 million plus illegal aliens. So in terms of American workers, this is devastating. In terms of national security, we're going to be overwhelming the Department of Homeland Security. There is no way they're going to be able to process all these applications in a thorough way and vet them properly.
What's unclear to me, Rosemary, is why this has happened. Last week, the president seemed to have successfully fractured the Democrats in the Senate, at least, over their efforts to impose presumably something roughly along these lines, because a number of them from the Republican-leaning red states, as they're called, that voted very substantially for Donald Trump are up for re-election and began panicking because they were hearing from constituents and they were reading polls that made it clear the American people don't want any part of this kind of amnesty and vast ongoing additional immigration. We now see something rather different, a fracturing, I'm quite certain, of the Republican ranks, and presumably a unification on the Democratic side. Play that out for us, Rosemary, the politics of this, as well as what it might mean for the practical immigration policies.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, Frank. I mean, part of the problem is that the timing of this could not have been worse, because we have a bill in the House that was introduced by Chairman Goodlatte and Chairman McCaul, the chairman of the two relevant committees on immigration, the Judiciary Committee and the Homeland Security Committee, that is actually a good compromise. It is a compromise, but it has effective enforcement measures. It includes mandatory E-Verify. It ends chain migration without diverting those visas somewhere else. So it would be an actual reduction in legal immigration. It ends the visa lottery program. It does everything that President Trump said he wanted in his long list of priorities that he got from DHS and DOJ law enforcement professionals. The Goodlatte bill actually responded directly to the president's request and was gaining momentum. And he came in yesterday and just undercut that entire effort. There are a lot of conservative Republicans in the House who have made the decision to support the Goodlatte bill, even though it includes a temporary visa for renewable visa for the 700,000 DACA recipients. And so they've put their names on that. And here comes the White House and cuts their legs out from under them. Those members of Congress are not going to vote for a full-scale amnesty for 1.8 million plus illegal aliens. So you're absolutely right. The Republican Party is now divided. They have essentially snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, and we are headed on a path that will go nowhere good for the country.
Yeah. Well, walk that through for us, if you would, Rosemary. My concern, we talked about it in the commentary today, is that you'll see the base that Donald Trump drew support from to become president of the United States very substantially on the basis of promising to do effective things. The wall came to be the catchword for it, as you know, but it was really a much more comprehensive approach. I think very much along the lines, certainly in his time in office to date, along the lines that Chairman Goodlatte and McCaul have incorporated into this legislation, the Securing America's Future Act, as I recall. What is the likelihood that the people who turned out for Donald Trump will be alienated by this? And they may not vote for the Democrats, who are even worse on this score particularly, but they may stay home.
Yeah, it is a huge concern. I mean, if the immigration issue goes badly for Republicans, which it increasingly appears that it's on its way to doing that, then I don't think there's any question that Republicans lose the House in November. And that means that President Trump is going to be impeached. I mean, the House will, under Democratic control, it will move to impeach President Trump. So his entire policy agenda will be shut down effectively. And nobody in the conservative base is going to be excited about coming out to vote if this issue, his signature issue, goes badly. The other problem that we have with this framework that they presented yesterday is that they are expecting the Senate to draft the legislation. No good immigration legislation has ever come out of the Senate, with the exception of Tom Cotton and David Perdue's RAISE Act. But those two senators are now on board with the president's plan.
There's some reason to believe they were architects of the president's plan. Is that your reading of what happened here? It seems that it defies some of their own advice up to this point. But nonetheless, the fact that they've signed off on it publicly suggests that if they weren't its architects, that they would certainly have decided that this is as much as the traffic will bear in the Senate. And as you say, Rosemary, I mean, you're a veteran of many, many of these dramas. This is the opening bid. This is not what will be the final outcome.
Right. You know, the problem at this point is that President Trump has made clear that he wants a deal on DACA. He wants to give permanent status to these, well, we thought it was just the DACA recipients. Now it apparently is 1.8 million so-called dreamers. And by keeping focused on that as the main goal, we lost. You know, we lost the leverage.
No good can come of that, that's for sure. Rosemary, we are out of time, but this is certainly a topic we'll be discussing further. I trust that you and Numbers USA will continue to do what you do absolutely brilliantly, which is lay out the arguments against this course of action, and I hope that they will be persuasive to large numbers of Americans that the president will find a way, as he often does, to change his mind. Keep up the great work, my friend, and thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, we'll talk about Venezuela with Luis Fleischman right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.